Happy Monday. It's time for another NHL Action Network collab. Nick Alberga and Johnny Lazarus with you. Producer Bob Bender behind the scenes as well. The trade deadline has passed and the push to the Stanley Cup playoffs is here. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, Nick? Pleasure to join you as always. And I'm looking forward to talking some NHL betting with you.
I tell you, an exciting time of year in the NHL world. The deadline's passed. We're moving forward. The optimism is in the air. Let's start with some futures, man. Some Stanley Cup futures, because obviously there's a lot of optimistic fan bases out there, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially out in this area right now with the Devils, Islanders, and Rangers. It's everyone's year, apparently.
So where do you want to start? Okay, so the Boston Bruins, I think, are the team we should start with. Obviously, they've been the gold standard all season long. Has your opinion on this team changed since the deadline?
Yes and no. Boston, to me, has been super scary, which is funny because before the season started, they were the team that everyone was concerned about with Marchand and McAvoy missing to start the year. But adding Tyler Bertuzzi, Orlov, Hathaway, I mean, the guys they brought in at the deadline made this team not necessarily scarier, but definitely much deeper. You know, Tyler Bertuzzi is certainly a guy that can score goals and provide offense. But, you know, is he a guy that most teams would have died to have at the deadline? You know, I think a lot of teams would say yes, but for the most part, I don't think he was one of the bigger names in the mix. But that being said, Boston, to me, you know, like you said, they are the number one team everyone's after, and they seem to be the benchmark right now for where teams want to be coming postseason time. So, yeah, I think Boston right now, I would say, you know, it is a little bit better than what they were before, but nothing too crazy.
It seems like the consensus picks are Boston in the Eastern Conference, Colorado Avalanche in the Western Conference. But we've talked about this a lot the last month. There's just way more value, Johnny, in my opinion. The pathway is easier, if you want to call it that, for teams in the Western Conference. So I think from a, you know, a betting perspective, if you want to sprinkle some coin and some futures, the bets to make are in the West, no?
I mean, I've been saying Dallas Stars since before the season started. Yeah. I love Jake Oettinger, and I think they have, you know, the veteran core in Dallas with Joe Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, guys that want to win and want to get the job done. They also got a strong back end with Heiskanen, and they just added Max Domi to make their middle even stronger. Dallas, to me, I mean, you know, they were one goal away last year from getting to the second round. They've got the goaltending. They've got the lineup. I think they're a team that's being slept on. They're not getting as much respect as they deserve. And I know they haven't necessarily been as strong as of late. But I think if you got to ask me, coming out of the West, Dallas is the best option.
I completely agree. I just think you look at their past month, they haven't been great, but it's a long slate. 82 games will get you sometimes. And I think we're seeing a bit of a blip here with the Dallas Stars. I think there's a lot of value personally in the Winnipeg Jets. You talk about goaltending, Jake Oettinger. We look conveniently enough at Connor Hellebuck's having an outstanding season. Josh Morrissey has flown completely under the radar. He's not going to win the Norris Trophy, but I think he deserves to be in the conversation. I like the Niederreiter pickup. It's unfortunate Perfetti goes down, but I think there's actually substantial value in Winnipeg because of their ability to play a different style than some teams on any given night. They can play offensive. They can play defense. I think Rick Bonus has done a great job there. And of course you can draw parallels because he used to coach the Dallas Stars.
I think they're somewhat of a mess right now too, though, right? Yep. Their offense seems a little bit inconsistent. They've lost, I think, 5 out of their last 6. Hellebuck is definitely one of the best goalies in the league. Don't get me wrong. And he played great 2 weeks ago against the Rangers when I was at that game at Madison Square Garden. I think he stopped 50 shots, or, you know, 50 saves on 51 shots. So Hellebuck could be one of those goalies that gets hot at the right time. But to me, I think this offensive group right now is just way too inconsistent to rely on. You know, I know Morrissey's been contributing from the back end. Like you said, Kyle Connor's obviously one of the more dangerous goal scorers in the league. But, you know, you look at the last 10 games on this team and outside the first line, no one's really scoring. You know, Niederreiter's a good pickup, like you said, but you know, Nikolai Ehlers hasn't done much. Blake Wheeler's been a little bit quiet. You know, this team definitely has a drop off after their first line. I just don't know if I can rely on them come playoff time.
Not to mention facts are facts. Numbers are numbers. The Canadian team has not won the Stanley Cup since 1993, which leads me to the Edmonton Oilers. Love their deadline. Love the Ekholm pickup. So let me paint a picture for you. You and I chilling on a Friday night. We're out for some drinks, getting set to hit the club in a couple hours. Talk me out of not picking the Edmonton Oilers to finally go all the way this season, considering the season 97's having.
I mean, I'm the wrong guy to ask because I'm all in on Edmonton right now.
Oh,
I actually bet them to win the Pacific Division recently after the deadline pickup. They're 6 points back of Vegas right now. The offense is buzzing. Like I said, you know, they're the number one offense and number one power play in the NHL. They just need Jack Campbell to find any sort of consistency. He's the only concern right now to me with Edmonton is the goaltending situation. Stuart Skinner has stepped in and showed himself a little bit this year, but Jack Campbell really is going to be the number one guy, I think, as we wind down the regular season going into playoffs. Edmonton, to me, you know, they got a good game against Buffalo tonight, a game that I'm watching very closely as far as sports betting goes, because those are two of the best offensive teams in the league. But the Oilers, to me, I'm not going to talk you out of it. I'm actually going to talk you into it. I'll be that drunk guy at the bar that thinks the Oilers are going to win three straight cups because Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, you know, how could you bet against those two? They put on a show every single night and they could, you know, win on their own.
You're the guy who's just gassing tequila, and I totally respect that, man. And I, for one, have been guilty of going all the way with Edmonton way too many times. And again, they went to a conference final last year. I do think goaltending is a major concern. I have no faith in Jack Campbell. You know this. He's been terrible again the last couple months. So everything hangs on Stuart Skinner. But I do think this team has way more depth than people give them credit for. And I love the Ekholm pickup. The Pacific in general is so intriguing on so many levels. And again, I like Minnesota too, to a degree, but you look at Vegas, like Bruce Cassidy is not going to get the respect he should deserve and get, considering they lost their number one goaltender. They've treaded right along with guys like Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill in between the pipes. Do you like the value in like a Vegas? Cause you mentioned the Pacific Division. It's still pretty much wide open. LA, Seattle, who of those teams do you like, including Edmonton?
Well, Vegas, I think right now would be the front runner, and they're always, you know, a difficult team to play against, especially on their home ice, you know, at the Fortress. But Jack Eichel's looking pretty good. They look hungry. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like Vegas, since they joined the NHL, it seems like they could win any given year. You know, they've always had somewhat of a deep roster, although, you know, the superstars didn't come until like a year or two in. You know, their back end's really strong with Petrangelo, Shea Theodore. You know, they got a strong team, and the goaltending has, I think, been the question mark this year. But, you know, Jack Eichel seems to be at a different level this season. You know, especially as of late, he's been, you know, on somewhat of a tear here. He's got 4 goals in his last 5 games, you know, and adding Barbashev is another guy that bounces out their lineup. Jonathan Marchessault has, you know, performed come playoff time. I think there's definitely good value on this Vegas team. And, you know, they are a team that does turn it up in the playoffs, especially with their home ice advantage. So they're another team that you should look at for sure to come out of the West.
And the big X factor there will be Mark Stone, right? And yeah, the back injury. And just even if he does come back, what kind of Mark Stone are we going to see? I like what LA did personally at the deadline. You add Korpisalo. It's just crazy to me thinking going into the season, it was Quick and Peterson. Now it's Korpisalo and you know, Phoenix Copley. A lot has changed over a short period of time. They bring in Gavrikov as well. They're a sneaky team, man. Like Kopitar is playing really, really well. Love the Fiala pickup too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fiala, I was going to say too, he's the difference maker, right? I'm sure Minnesota is missing him a lot this season because, you know, he has looked very good in that LA, not only in the LA uniform because he's a stud off the ice, but, you know, on the ice as well. You know, 22 goals this year. He's over a point a game. He's a huge addition to their power play, but they have a lot of good 200-foot players. You know, you look at guys like Philip Deneau, Adrian Kempe, guys who play up and down the ice. Andre Kopitar, another, you know, probably the poster boy right now, aside from Patrice Bergeron, as far as defensive forwards go. So that's what makes this team scary. I think they're really good at 5-on-5, and they've just needed that consistent goaltending that puts them over the hump. But, you know, you talk about guys like Adrian Kempe too, who's, you know, been a huge surprise, I think, in the NHL as far as his goal scoring ability. He's a fun guy to watch. And that Gabriel Vilardi's a pretty good player too, huh? He's got good hands around the net and scores some fancy goals. And then Drew Doughty, obviously, on the back end, who's been one of the best defensemen in the league since he's joined. So this LA Kings team is definitely for real. They took Edmonton to a tough 7-game series last year. They could have won that game easily. But you know, the Cards didn't go their way. But yeah, this LA team for sure is fun to watch. And you know, they're pretty legit, especially adding Korpisalo in the back and in the blue paint now.
Speaking of legitimacy, a lot of people ragging on the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, and I just simply don't get it. I get it's the first time since 2014, if you can believe it, Johnny. They're winless in 5 straight games. The sky is falling. It's over. They're imploding. Give me a break, okay? I'm still feeling Tampa, and honestly, I think this is a good time to ride the Lightning.
I have to agree. I mean, Tampa has shown it from time to time again. Their regular season isn't necessarily their best bread of hockey. I mean, aside from that 2019 season where they set the NHL record. But, you know, this year, I mean, you look at guys like Kucherov and Braden Point. They're still having career years. Steven Stamkos had a point a game. You know, it's not like these guys have been quiet. I think right now what they're dealing with is just finding that consistency level. And, you know, Andre Vasilevsky hasn't looked up to par this year. I think, you know, he's still one of the better goalies in the league, but not the Vasilevsky that we're used to seeing. But come playoff time, this team always finds a way to turn it up. And you look at guys like, you know, Ross Colton, Corey Perry, Pat Maroon, those guys that are quieter in the regular season that really find their game come playoff time when the games do matter just a little bit more. The guys that like to muck and grind and, you know, put their body on the line and get in front of the net and, you know, piss people off. Those are the guys that stand out come playoff time that don't necessarily get all the, you know, the flashiness or the popularity contest stuff in the regular season. But that's what makes this Tampa team so different come playoff time is, you know, the roster, I guess, as you get deeper in the lineup, you know, the third, fourth line, you know, those guys really pick up their game come playoff time.
So considering we're both in unison on Tampa, not really being, you know, of concern moving forward, would you try to angle for the unders moving forward, starting Tuesday against Philadelphia? They're playing Vegas this week. They're playing Chicago, Winnipeg, all on home ice. Would you angle towards the under knowing that Vasilevsky's Vasilevsky? They're going to figure this out.
It's tough to tell because Tampa still can score a ton of goals. I would definitely lean toward the under in that game against Philadelphia just because the Flyers offense is pretty abysmal. Yeah. But as the week goes on for Tampa, you know, I look at that Vegas game that could easily be a shootout with the back and forth offenses that both teams have. You know, they both play at a pretty high pace, especially Vegas, who's one of the faster teams in the league. I don't know if I'd go with the under on that one also just because Jonathan Quick hasn't been so incredible this year. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't rely on that one. But, you know, as far as the game against the Blackhawks, I could see Vasilevsky shutting them down as well in that game, although they probably would lean toward Brian Elliott to start that one, I would think, just to give Vasilevsky a little bit more rest as we wind down the season here. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Nick, we talked about it last year in the postseason. You know, anytime Vasilevsky's in the net or like Shesterkin in New York, you know, how we talked about the Rangers-Tampa series, under is always the safer play. But, you know, when you play a team like Vegas, you know, it could be a barn burner.
Johnny, early forecast. We all know it's coming. Toronto and Tampa. What's your read in that series, dude?
I mean, I don't want to sound stupid for saying it, but I do think it's Toronto's year. Like,
oh,
I think.
Come on.
I know. I'm drinking the water or whatever the phrase is there, but I'm actually going to see the Leafs play tomorrow night in New Jersey at the Prudential Center. So I'm excited to watch them play, but. You know, I've talked about it from time and time again. Like, I love watching Toronto play so much. I truly respect all the players in that lineup. Like, you know, I'm a huge Mitch Marner fan. I actually, you know, it kind of backfired on me the last time the Rangers and Leafs played each other in Toronto when Marner scored that overtime goal. I tweeted out in the first period that I love watching Mitch Marner play, and all the Ranger fans that I have following me were like, it's your fault. Yeah. But, you know, watching Matthews, watching Marner, Nylander, another stud, John Tavares, Ryan O'Reilly, like this team is so deep. And the blue line, you know, got even better adding Jake McCabe. They got Giordano, who's a leader back there, Morgan Riley, adding Luke Shen as well. You know, I think another question mark for them is just the goaltending. Can they stay healthy? But I am certainly a Toronto Maple Leafs believer, and I am rooting so hard for a Maple Leafs and Rangers Eastern Conference final. I think it'd be amazing not only for both cities, but for the league as a whole to have both those markets play in such a important series. I think it'd be awesome.
It's tough to handicap for me because I do cover the Leafs, host Leafs Morning Take on the Nation Network YouTube page at the Leafs Nation 401, where you can follow along. I just have a tough time going against Andre Vasilevsky. I call him Mariano Rivera. His numbers speak for themselves. They got Hedman, they got Kucherov and others. So look out for that series moving forward. You want to talk about good bets and teams going potentially to the Stanley Cup playoffs or fighting for their playoff lives. I saw Ottawa at +410 to make the playoffs. We'll talk about Buffalo momentarily. Do you like that play?
I don't love it, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't love it. I see the value in it, but I don't see the Islanders really dropping off. I think Sorokin's been too good this year. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, maybe. But Buffalo is right there. I mean, these teams are all right there. I do think, you know me, I don't want to pounce the Buffalo thing so much, but I do think Buffalo gets that second spot. I don't think they catch the Islanders, but Buffalo can score so many goals any given night. And, you know, Ottawa is just their goaltending to me, you know, obviously in the same boat as Buffalo, you know, they both don't have such strong goaltending, but I think Buffalo's offense is just so much more elite right now. And that's not necessarily a personnel thing. It's just the way they're playing. But yeah, I don't know if Ottawa is really going to crack it. I think next year they'll be more of a for sure to make the playoffs. But this year, just with the goaltending situation, I don't see them getting in.
This five-game road trip will pretty much be everything for the Ottawa Senators. Chicago, Seattle, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. As we have this conversation on this Monday, they're 3 points out with 20 games remaining in the season. At plus 410, I would take a sniff at that, man. They're feeling really good. The goaltending's actually been pretty decent, and I love the Chychrun pickup. Like, that's the one thing that's been missing for this team is a stud defenseman. They got their stud defenseman, and I think it slots everybody a bit better on the D chart, including Chabot. Claude Giroux has been outstanding as of late, so that's the look I would give. But certainly, I get your Buffalo perspective, and then I think on top of that, there's just such a cluster. Like, Pittsburgh, what are you doing? The Islanders, can they score enough without Barzal? There's a lot more question marks. And the team nobody's talking about again because they've been stinking up the joint, the Florida Panthers, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, Florida is just night and day from last year. But also, they should be getting Anthony Duclair back anytime soon. That's a huge addition for them, too. Yeah. Oh, he is back.
Yeah.
That goes to show you, right? I haven't paid much attention to Florida because they've been so boring to watch. You know, they're 5-5-0 in their last 10 games. Just not too much excitement outside of Matthew Tkachuk and Alexander Barkov on that team this year. Last year, they just had such a high-flying offense, and their pace was, you know, similar to what we're seeing in a New Jersey Devils team this year. I think is a team that I paid a lot of attention to, but I don't think Florida gets in. I don't believe in Sergei Bobrovsky, and I don't think they have enough guys that are carrying the load like Tkachuk is right now.
As someone who texts with me quite frequently, you know my emoji game is strong. I like sending the arm flex emoji. It's one of my faves. Carolina, was that a flex on Sunday, the way they came out and steamrolled the Tampa Bay Lightning? The Lightning had four shots on goal through 40 minutes. I'm talking about, are people sleeping on the Carolina Hurricanes, maybe because of their lackluster deadline? They pick up Puljujarvi. Gostisbehere has been a beast on the power play. That team's sneaky good, man.
I think it's always the same story with Carolina. And I think any fan base that plays against them would tell you the same thing. They don't have an individual player that necessarily scares you. And that's no disrespect to them, but they don't seem to have any game breakers. But that being said, this year, Martin Natchez has really stepped up. He's looked like an incredible player, you know, consistently throughout the entire season. He's a guy still, like, he's not a big household name that really stands out on paper. Like, you know, when you're playing against the Penguins, you know you got Crosby and Malkin to worry about. When you're playing against the Bruins, you know you got Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak to worry about. When you're playing against the Leafs, you know you got Matthews and Marner. Like, it's just something about Aho and Svechnikov that don't necessarily have that pop. And listen, I'm not trying to disrespect them. It's just they're not so scary when it comes to the individuals on their roster. Adding Brent Burns is a huge addition for them this year. You know, he's a good player to have on the blue line on the back end. And their goaltending always seems to be an issue too because they don't stay healthy. You know, Freddie Anderson is definitely injury prone, and Antti Raanta has been good when he's been called upon. But, you know, is he the guy that's going to get you over the hump? Probably not. So I think the thing about the Hurricanes is just that they don't have all that star power that other teams in the East do have. And that's what makes them not as scary.
I always like to say Freddie Anderson's allergic to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Hopefully he shows up for game one. Everybody keeps saying Pyotr Kochetkov is going to be that guy for this team. And I'll see when I believe it on Anderson. And by the way, I like the Gostisbehere pickup because I do recall quite vividly the one thing that's really killed the Carolina Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup playoffs is their power play. So you solidify things even more. You already have Brent Burns. Gostisbehere has mentioned has four power play points in his first two outings. So they're a scary team. And so are the Boston Bruins. So I wanted to ask you how you're going to play this 10-game win streak. It has to end eventually. You look at the schedule this week, got a five-day break here. Next up is a Thursday game against the Edmonton Oilers, which we're all waiting for it. It's going to be outstanding. Then they have two against Detroit, a home-and-home Saturday and Sunday. Does it end? Does the 10-game win streak end this week, Johnny?
I think if anything, it ends when they play the Oilers, which is their next game, right, on Thursday. You know, the way Edmonton's playing right now and the way they're scoring, I believe they have like 16 goals in their last three games. You know, not many teams can stop them right now. The only thing with Edmonton, like I said before, is Jack Campbell, because Boston can score goals too. So if Edmonton can just control the pace of play and, you know, maintain puck possession that entire game and just try to limit Boston's power play opportunities, I think Edmonton, you know, shouldn't have an issue with winning that game. Edmonton, like I said, also plays tonight. So, you know, they don't have too much rest. I'm a big believer in the rest versus rust. You know, whenever a team sweeps in the first or any round, I always take the opposite team in game one. So I think this could be like a similar situation. You know, another example I think about was when the Carolina Hurricanes had 10 days off after the All-Star break and they were feeling pretty good. They played the Rangers in the back end of a back-to-back and the Rangers whooped them 6-2. You know, just the days off, it is hard to ramp up, especially against a team as talented as Edmonton. So I would certainly lead toward the Oilers in that game Thursday night against the Bruins.
I don't know if you saw, I recently got into the t-shirt business, and we got to make you a Rest versus Rust t-shirt right away, man. That you are riding and dying with that baby. I'm happy you brought up Edmonton. I like the over between Edmonton and Buffalo, even though it's 7 on Monday, man. I just can see a lot of offense in that game. Can you?
That's the thing with the Oilers right now. Almost every over under that they're in is at 7, which is such a scary number to think about, because what were we, like a year ago, it was 5.5 every game. You know, Vegas has certainly caught on to what the Oilers are cooking up over there. But yeah, I mean, the only thing that fears me for that game is Linus Ullmark. He's been the best goalie in the NHL by far. He's put up some crazy numbers, but he can score goals now too. So he might contribute to that over. Who knows? But you know what I mean? I think Linus Ullmark is certainly scary, but going up against a team like Edmonton, they're due for 3 or 4 a night. So I would definitely lean toward that over. And, you know, betting an over in a game like that between Boston and Edmonton, that's a fun bet to root for, huh?
Yeah, looking forward to that game on Thursday. As mentioned, the Buffalo-Edmonton game Monday, like the over, even though it's set at 7 in that one. And I like the revenge look. Alex DeBrincat, his return to the UC, the shot proper, the anytime goal. I'm looking at that on Monday night, Ottawa and the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, DeBrincat's been a little bit quieter this year than we expected. I thought he'd have, you know, closer to a 30-40 goal season. Yeah. Not that he's been bad by any means, but I don't think he's been up to par with what we thought he could do. But other games that I'm looking at as well this week, like I said before, tomorrow, Toronto and New Jersey, I think that's going to be a great game, a great measuring stick for both teams. The Devils obviously trying to figure it out with Timo Meier, you know, trying to see what they've got in store for the playoff run. Another game I'm looking at later this week, Nick, if we're going to get into later in the week on Thursday, like we talked about before, but the Islanders and Penguins too, both teams battling for that wild card spot. I like the under in that game with Ilya Sorokin. You know, he seems to step up in the biggest games when the team needs him most. And the Islanders, like we said, their offense without Matt Barzal seems to be a little bit stagnant. So I see that game being like a 2-1, 3-2 kind of playoff style game since both teams are fighting for the playoff spot. You know, those are the games I'm looking at. Any thoughts on the Islanders and Penguins?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really, really good one. You got Buffalo and the Islanders coming up this week as well. It's an interesting way to bet, but when these games become of vast importance with like 20 games or so left, I like actually playing for OT, man. Like it's a cheeky call sometimes, but I have extracted a lot of value in the past when, you know, both teams need the points. It always seems like they seem to get to that finish line and say, hey, let's figure this out in OT. But I know you don't want to do that every game, but it's something, a narrative I would look at. I mentioned Tampa earlier on. I like them against Philadelphia clearly on Tuesday to stop the bleeding. I think you look at the puck line. The response is what I'm looking for. And I'll be quite honest. I thought after benching the superstars on Saturday, I hammered Tampa on Sunday and Carolina just fed me my lunch. It's unfortunate, but it happens in the betting world sometimes, right?
Tampa's one of those teams too, right? Like you think they can't lose 5 in a row. They can't lose 6 in a row. So you just hammer them until it stops. I actually was guilty of the same thing on Sunday. I took Tampa Bay money line and I quickly turned that game off. But you know, I feel your pain there. And you know, another game I'm looking at just later on in the weekend here, as we get to Saturday, you know, another pretty good slate spread out games on Saturday, a 1 o'clock, a 3:30, a 5 and a 6. And then you go into Saturday night with those 7 PM puck drops and then the West Coast 10:30s, you know, great Saturday slate, but I'm looking at Rangers, Buffalo. Those teams always seem to play pretty good against one another. And then, you know, the two teams we were talking about before, Edmonton in Toronto, Connor McDavid always seems to shine when he plays in the bright lights of Toronto, where he's from. So that's another game I'm looking at for an over under with the Leafs and Oilers. I actually didn't say my Rangers Sabres pick. That's an over as well. I think both teams score a lot of goals when they play one another. So two overs I'm looking at on Saturday in that big slate. That's the Rangers in Buffalo and the Oilers in Toronto.
I like the Leafs to return the favor in that game. They were smashed last week in Edmonton. I think they're going to return the favor against the Oilers in that one. And also the Patrick Kane game against the Buffalo Sabres. I've been waiting for that anytime assist, that plus money to hit. I think eventually it's going to hit, and I'm going to start throwing some coin on the Panarin line with Kane and Trocheck. Like, they have to break out eventually, no?
Well, Nick, I don't know if you know, but it's Mika March. If you're not taking Mika to score anytime goal scorer right now, you just hate money. You hate money if you don't do that. He actually, you know, I didn't do it because sometimes I don't believe in the Ranger fan logic sometimes so much. But of course, the first game in March, Mika Zibanejad scores the first goal of the game. So it is true. Mika March, it's a real thing. So you definitely got to ride that hot hand while it's happening.
Let me ask you something. We're looking for different angles. Who's going to finish last? Who's going to put themselves in the best position to land Connor Bedard? My answer is the Anaheim Ducks, by the way.
Really? Mm-hmm. The Anaheim Ducks. I mean, it's certainly not going to be Arizona because they're trying to prove that they're good now. I don't know what they're doing over there. Sure. But if I had to take one pick, I got to think it's Columbus. I mean, you know, they get rid of Corpusalo. They really just, they don't look very good. They've had so much. I mean, I know they're last right now, so it's obviously the easy answer, but they've just been a complete mess this year. And, you know, it's crazy because they have so much talent up front in Lining, Gaudreau, and a lot of young guys like Kent Johnson coming up, you know, who's been a really good college player and now is just trying to find his footing in the NHL. But you add Connor Bedard to that mix of that skilled lineup they already have there. You know, I have to think that Columbus is going to be the one in the running. And, you know, they're a city that needs to start winning and getting some deep playoff runs.
It was near his resolution for me to be nicer. So when Michael Hutchinson went to Columbus in that Jonathan Quick trade, I stopped myself for a couple hours from tweeting, hey, Columbus got Connor Bedard because that guy can't make a save. But he's amazing in the locker room. I talked about him as a Leaf for like 3 years. Couldn't make a save at the NHL level. But yeah, that's a pretty safe play. So before we wrap, a lot to tee up, NHL Fantasy on Ice. We had an amazing guest on the pod today. Yours truly and Anna Dua. His name was Johnny Lazarus. He's right here.
Yeah, just in a dab on camera for those who aren't watching this. But yeah, always a pleasure to join you guys. A lot of fun. And Nick, you know, I'm going to miss the someone make a trade tweets for the next couple months here since we won't be seeing any trades coming soon.
It stings, my man. The Blue Crew podcast, tee that up as well.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, JLazzy23, Instagram, Johnny Lazarus, and then the podcast, The Blue Crew Pod. Got some good guests coming up. We actually have a surprise episode Thursday, and it's funny that I say surprise episode, and I'm telling you it's Thursday. But yeah, so look out for that one. It's going to be a fun little, somewhat of a Chicago Blackhawk funeral episode. But yeah, a lot of good stuff coming, and I'm excited for this playoff race and excited to talk to you guys throughout it.
There you have it. Many thanks to producer Bob and Johnny Lazarus. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to another NHL Action Network collab. Take care.